Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411. And sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials.
And always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening, and pop culture. I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great.
You profesh podcaster, you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying my best.
No, you're doing so good. Vile Files is killing it.
Thank you. Yeah. It's going all right so far. You know, hopefully we keep having interesting conversations and at least ruffling some feathers. But so far, so good.
I feel like with you, because you were on a lot of different Bachelor shows, like most, if you know anything about The Bachelor, you would know you, like, because you were on Andy's season, Caitlin's season, which was a big one, your own season, you were The Bachelor, and BIP. So I've watched you on BIP and your season.
Well, you know, if you were to watch two of the shows I was on, I'd prefer it to be those two.
Yeah, true. Exactly. I didn't know. Because you really underwent like a, I mean, there are a lot of memes. I mean, not memes, but kind of like the way you looked on the show and now. But I literally, when I was sent anything like that, I'm like, it's literally facial hair.
Yeah, it's facial hair and a better haircut. I think, it's weird. I definitely think I went through the ugliest stage of my life in the 2 years I was on The Bachelorette. Like, when I look back on old photos, I just, like, had a weird haircut. I just kind of, like, I really don't know what I was thinking. And yes, facial hair helps, but I think it's more the haircut than anything, you know? And then, getting the a villain edit on Andy's season didn't necessarily help, but... I'll take the compliment,
the glow up
compliments. I like, you know, sometimes my ego is kind of like, no, but wait, I was like hot in middle school. And then I realized I probably don't need to worry about that. So yeah.
Well, it is annoying because men get hotter with age, and people that don't know this will be shocked, but you are 40.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to advertise it, but I am.
No. Well, here we are, Nick. You're 40, like it's actually annoying. Do you get anything? Like, do men in Hollywood get things? Like, do you get any like Botox or fillers or anything like that? Or are you just annoying and have great skin?
Well, I'm lucky to have great genetics. My parents, if you've seen pictures, both look young. I tried Botox once. I'll be honest. I didn't love the results. And I have no shame in it in terms of people do it. I have a lot of, obviously, women friends do it. You know, less is more. I understand the pressures behind it and things like that. But yeah, like, you know, it's one of the things I was just kind of curious and tried it. And, you know, I'm not saying I would never do it again. But at the same time, yes, I think, you know, society tends to be more gracious with how men age. But listen, I'm also someone who, like, you know, whether it's something like that or just I do take care of myself. I do think, you know, eating right. And I mean, Gen X play a big part of it, but eating right. And I exercise on a regular basis. And I don't, I try not to abuse too many substances. I'm not a big drinker. And I think that plays a big role in the aging process. So, you know, so far, so good.
Do you think, Nick, that you're like a different typecast than most of the people we see on The Bachelor? Because somehow you come across smarter. Is that a word I can use? I mean, I know that's like, there's something about the way you speak that sounds smart, even if it's not, you're not saying smart words. I don't know if it's like this, like,
is that a compliment?
Subtle lisp that you have. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm dissecting it with you. It's like this subtle lisp or something. You have a little like something going on. And I know that you've come across like, would you say like cocky or conceited? Like what were people annoyed with you that you come across like a know-it-all? What was it?
When depends on who you ask, or you know, and like when I was the villain on Andy's season, I think my villain edit, you know, they didn't have much to work with. And what I mean by that is like, you know, different seasons have different characters in terms of what they bring to the table. They're gonna have to always find something. And so even at the time, I think a lot of people were like, it doesn't really seem like a villain, but definitely the music tells us we're supposed to hate him. I was you know, the strategic guy, you know, and I was definitely like, you know, a lot of seasons they always like play on the guy who's just like, you know, talking to producers about his feelings and his relationship. And, you know, like it's weird how sometimes they will penalize you for like saying like, no, I think she likes me the best, because like, why else would I be here? That would be insane to think she likes me fourth best and still be super in love. But weirdly enough, Bachelor Nation will sometimes see that as like overconfident and cocky. And yeah, I mean, I have a snarky personality, and I definitely have I believe in myself. And so, you know, sometimes when it comes to cockiness or confidence, I think in life can be often misconstrued. It really just depends on who's, you know, reading you, right? You know, we know that people project all the time. And so how people perceive you is, you know, their perception of you. And most of that is going to be based off of, you know, what's going on with them. You know, in terms of, you know, how I'm viewed relative to my peers. Yeah, I definitely think in general, I'm for better sometimes and for worse sometimes, I've done my own thing. And I definitely, I've never been a follower ever. And I think in that world, as I've mentioned a lot, you know, when we recap it on the Vile Files, it definitely can be a high school mob mentality. You're seeing it, you know, on Katie's season as well. And so I think, yeah, and there's always, and there's definitely a lot of people like me on that franchise, but it's definitely not the norm, right? And I think there's a handful of smart people who go on the show. Do remember on Andy's season particularly, I always kind of joke with my friends, I've never been called smart so much in my life. I was just like, I'm not that smart, guys.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. They were telling you that a lot?
Obsessively. It was like weird. All the guys were just like, you're so smart. I'm like, just using my head.
And you're like, maybe you're stupid.
Yeah, I never said that. But, you know, but I think the IQ went up a lot on Caitlin's season. So that was a different experience. And so, yeah, I mean, like, and then lately, I mean, like Tayshia and Claire's guys, I mean, they had a lot of, I mean, Dr. John, a lot of smart guys. And so there's a, you know, it's like anything else. It's kind of a spectrum of different people, but it is funny on Andy's season. It was a, it seemed for whatever reason, they would not shut up about how smart they thought I was.
You guys, the way we want good hair care, good skin care, we should be using good kitchenware, because you know how you're at a restaurant, you're like, it tastes so good. Like, how is it? That's also part of it, okay? Because if you have quality cookware and kitchenware, you're capable of making restaurant quality food at home. And if you're serious about cooking, and even if that's a freaking scrambled egg like me, you should invest in your kitchen tools. Maiden produces some of the best pots, pans, knives, and wine glasses. They actually have gorgeous wine glasses. I have the stainless steel pan that I'm obsessed with. What I really love about their cookware is that it can go on the stovetop or in the oven. So you don't even have to think twice about like whether you can use it for both, because let me tell you right here, you can. So Maiden's cookware and kitchenware are used by thousands of the world's best chefs. And I freaking love the stainless steel pan I have by them. And it's literally so easy to clean as opposed to, you know, Teflon pans that I've had from before that are just so dunzo. So you guys should check out Maiden, okay? And use my 15% off code to get 15% off. And the code is not skinny. So you go to maidencookware.com/notskinny and you use promo code not skinny to get 15% off your first order. That's maidencookware.com/notskinny and use promo code not skinny to get 15% off. It's interesting because I feel like on Andy season, since it was an older season, there wasn't as much of the social media thing going on and like, okay, you'll get Instagram famous and now TikTok famous or whatever. So were there people going on then to get famous even though it wasn't?
No.
The same kind of, they weren't.
No, I mean, you know, the show's always played into the right reasons thing. But again, I've said this before, like, yeah, I think people went on for the experience. Like you got to travel and it was just crazy. And I certainly had no illusions of ending up in the position I'm in today. You know, I went right back to work afterwards and I always stayed pretty grounded. I mean, part of it is like I was in my early 30s when I first went on. So I had the benefit of some life experience. And I think that really grounded me when I went on. I mean, I can't imagine going on in my early 20s. So I am thankful for that. But yeah, it's different because, yes, there wasn't the, and I've said this before, like there wasn't the obvious playbook that there is now. It's hard to go.
Well, now it's.
Yeah, it's hard to go on this show, get cast in this show, and not see. You know, you always see the success stories. And I do often try to warn people who go on about like just being realistic with their expectations. But, you know, it's obviously you see the people who are successful or seem successful. But given that there's 60 people who get casted every season, if you just kind of do a little math, you know, most people end up disappointed.
Mm. Are you talking about disappointed in how many Instagram followers they get or disappointed in not finding love?
The former. Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, I think there's, you know, again, like realistically, I think everyone goes on kind of a slightly skeptical. And I think for a handful of people every season, they are surprised by the connection they form. But yeah, I don't fault anyone for like, quite honestly, if you told me you went for love, I would think you're insane. Like, you know, like if you went on for the first time, you know, unless you knew the person, you know, like when I knew Caitlin or like Blake.
I love that vibe. I love that. I feel I want to watch Caitlin's season because I was saying this on Katie's season. When Blake came in and they had that like connection because they know each other a little bit, even a little bit, it was like more fun to watch two people that have had a vibe and aren't like on a first date.
Yeah, I mean, it's I can see that. It does get a little stale sometimes when it's always like the same, like, so how what's just going on?
Can I steal you?
Yeah, and then, you know, you get these awkward conversations. So, and it is nice because I think sometimes, you know, I can't speak for Caitlin, but I can observe, you know, Katie in that, and I can speak for myself as the Bachelor. It's exhausting trying to start that many conversations. And so you really appreciate someone who's like, oh, no, like I have questions and there's things I want to talk about. And so I think if there's a natural comfort level, there's less stress on and trying to be like, so how's it going? It can get exhausting after like the 13th, you know.
Wow,
chat.
No, I can't. I mean, you gotta be, I feel like drunk, even though then it can get dicey as well. But
yeah, I didn't, you know, unless you're a big drinker, it's, you don't really have time to drink as the lead. You know, you have to like actively, and I'd always like have a drink with me, but I'd just be so busy doing the stuff I had to do as the bachelor, I wouldn't have much time. So, but everyone else is just sitting around. By the time I would talk to them, they're often tipsy. So,
oh, they're often tipsy. Yeah. Oh my God, I just had like, you know, flashbacks to Corinne. Your season was crazy. Oh my God, I have an anecdote to tell you. So, Sophie Turner, you know her from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she. I
wait.
Do you know
what?
Wait, what?
She. I'm gonna start the story, okay. And you'll see that it's the same thing that you're gonna. Say.
Okay. Are you friends with her?
She asked me, she follows me on Instagram, and she asked me as a bachelor connoisseuress what seasons she should watch. And I told her what season she should binge because she was like home with the baby and whatever. So I told her, I think I said like Caitlyn's season, your season. Oh my God, that's funny. She saw you on two seasons. So she watched. So she.
What about Paradise? So you tell her to watch Paradise?
No.
Oh God.
I think I told her Caitlyn's season. I said Caitlyn's season, your season. I think I said Ben Higgins because people really like that one.
Yeah, that's a good season.
And maybe Matt James because I was like, just so you know, like the most recent one. And then she, obviously I was so excited, you know, guys, I'm obviously a fangirl. So I was like, so excited. I was like, let me think. And I like took the question so seriously. I thought about it for a day.
Did like research. Yeah. Let me get back to you and give you notes.
Yeah. And then I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought I was dreaming and I saw like a message from Sophie Turner again. And she was like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, am I dreaming this? And then she told me. What I think you were going to tell me that she saw you at the Dodger game or something?
Yeah, the Dodger game, yeah.
And she's like, you won't believe it. I saw Nick, and I was like, oh my God. She's like, he was with his boys, and like she told me. And just so you know, I'm part of that experience.
Oh,
for you.
Great. It was great. Yeah, it was, I went with some friends, and Sophie turned around. Like, so she was in front of me, and so I didn't notice, like, I didn't. Noticed that she was there yet. It was fairly early, and she turned around and started waving at me, and I immediately was like, what's Sophie Turner? And like, you know, it's, we were sitting in a section where there's, you know, it's a Dodger game, so there's a handful of like people you recognize, but it was like one of those things where like I was like, well, there's no way Sophie Turner knows who I am, so she's clearly like waving to someone behind me. So for like what felt like 2 minutes but was probably 3 seconds, I was just like staring at her, be like, is she waving at me or is she waving at a person behind me? Because I did not want to wave to Sophie Turner and then have someone like two rows behind me be the person she's waving to. But she clearly made eye contact with me and kind of lipped, I love you. Like, and obviously in a very like on a TV, you know, and not to like a, in a very
not
friendly
like
way.
Dump your girlfriend.
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, no, in a very like, you know, I'm a fan watching The Bachelor. And I was like, same, you know, like, and then after the game, I just said, hey, I'm a big fan and it was nice to meet you. And yeah. And
she's so cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to,
there are a lot of like
trying to get her on my podcast, but you know, probably.
Ooh, yeah. I haven't even,
she doesn't follow. Yeah. I followed her back. She didn't follow me. So you have a leg up on me.
Yeah, I know. I'm scared to take it to that next level. You know, that's like, yeah. It's like annoying. It's like she gave me a finger. What am I trying to take a hand over here? You know?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I understand. I understand.
But
yeah, that was, it's always fun when, you know, people like Sophie Turner, it's surprising how many people watch The Bachelors and how many celebrities watch it. It's
oh my,
it's an
God,
entertaining show.
I think I'm trying to remember. I'll have to tell you after. I think another, because I love your I was gonna say sex advice, but it's dating advice. I've poked fun at it a few times, but in a fun way, not at you, more at like people coming to you with these crazy life questions and you answer them so nonchalantly. And I'm thinking about that person that A is coming to you for that, you know?
Yeah.
Or do you, you're looking at me like, no, Amanda, they should be coming to me. I have all the answers.
Well, I mean, I have been spending the past like 2.5 years doing it and like launched the whole podcast on it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm grateful that I've built a reputation that people like do value my advice to the point where like I have like therapists calling up and asking my advice. That's been fun. But yeah, it's been fun. And like, you know, my questions like on my Instagram is definitely in a tone of kind of a snarky. And it's also like, it's rapid fire, right? And it's that's why I started the podcast Ask Nick, is because that's more like people come and tell their stories. And I take actually some time to really.
Oh, there's another podcast? I didn't know that.
Well, it's all the same, right? So there's three formats of the Lyle Files. There's the Ask Nick on Mondays, which is people call it and share their stories and I give them my 2 cents. And then there's the traditional interviews. And then we recap The Bachelor when it's on.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's time to get more of what you want and less of what you don't. Less stress at work, more fun in the sun, less to do on your plate, more tacos on your plate, less thinking about the big picture, more margaritas by the pitcher. It's time for an all-inclusive beach vacation. CheapCaribbean.com has got you covered, you guys. You're so close to chilling in Jamaica, partying in Cancun, or relaxing in the Riviera Maya. All-inclusive is the only way to freaking go. Cheap Caribbean has legit been around forever. I'm sure you've heard about it. You've seen somebody go on a Cheap Caribbean vacation. So they literally know what they're doing best in the world of all-inclusive beach vacations. And when I say all-inclusive, I mean all the alcohol, all the food, all the non-alcoholic beverages, as well as beach activities, night activities, all of this is included when you book at CheapCaribbean.com. I go on vacation so I could be at the hotel, enjoy my hotel robe, the air conditioning at hotels, the naps at hotels, the pools at hotels, the margaritas at hotels. I don't need to freaking leave the hotel. I want an all-inclusive and I want a freaking discount. So here you go, you guys. You can take $100 off your next beach vacay when you visit cheapcaribbean.com/not-skinny-not-fat. So it's cheapcaribbean.com/not-skinny-not-fat. So it's not skinny, not fat, but with dashes in between. To get $100 off, you guys, that's cheapcaribbean.com/not-skinny-not-fat to get $100 off your next vacation. You have a girlfriend now. Let's talk about that for a second before we get into Katie season. You have a fucking hot ass girlfriend.
Yeah, she's lovely inside
and
out.
Too.
Yeah, she's I mean, like objectively, she's so hot. It's comical. I was giving her a hard time. It was a while ago and I went on this like tangent. Like, you know how TikTok has those transitions, you know, and you go from like, I'm dressed in like grunge and then now I'm in a,
cool.
Yeah. And then like, I'm all dolled up and I'm like, you can't do that. You're too hot. Like you're hot before you're hot. And it's like, you're too hot to do that. It's like it defeats the objective, but no, I mean, like, everyone loves her. She's a sweetheart and just a very kind and fun person to be around. And she softens me up in the best possible way.
How did you meet?
She DM'd me. She slid into my DMs. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. She slid on in?
Well, yeah, when you look like that, I think you have a little more confidence. I don't know. But yeah, no, she did. And we met up and then, you know. And then kind of.
So she slid into your DMs. Did she know you from the show?
She didn't. And I actually believe her now. At first, I didn't believe her, you know, because you never really know. Yeah. But I don't have anything. She didn't start watch, you know, she didn't watch. She's not a fan of the show. Like I think she watched a little bit of Peter's season, but I make her watch it now when I recap. And she's just, you know, she like watches it, but she's just not a huge fan of the show.
So she had no idea who you were, but saw your profile.
She just
profile
thought somehow. I was a hot Instagram model or something. I don't know.
Well, you do come up on Wikipedia as an actor.
Great.
Just so you know.
Well, I'm a paid actor, so.
You're an actor, just so you know. Yeah.
I've been paid to give lines.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So she slid in. Was that your first time, like, kind of going with that flow and meeting up with a girl from, like, DMs? Or have you done that before?
I've done it before. I don't make a habit of it. I'm definitely more of a guarded person. And so even with her, it was like, and we kind of joked when we went on our first date. I think we were both a little like worried that, you know, I hope you don't murder me. Because there is a nervousness of like, you know, meeting ultimately a stranger. Like we had messaged for a while, you know. I'm cautious. You know, just because, and I've had like, you know, over the years, I've had some awkward experiences. You know, I went on a date once and essentially caught her sending a picture that she took of me without me knowing. Like we were sitting at a bar, you know, like booth. And so like, she looked like she was on her phone, kind of like, when we were like talking, it was weird. She was like weirdly like sending it to like her friend or sister. I'm like, what are you doing? And it was really, it was, that date ended right there. but other than that, it's a weird world out there. You just got to be, I think everyone has to be, you know, careful these days, you know, in terms of, you know, just be careful who you're talking to, and especially because your people are meeting online. And I think I promote dating apps, and I think that's a great way to meet people. But, you know, yeah. As always, I think you just got to always be safe. I'm a big proponent of people, you know, I think what COVID did in terms of like Zoom and Zoom dates and things like that, I think that's an excellent way to screen someone, especially for women, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, you don't have to give a guy your number. You could literally create an email address for your Zoom dates. And it's just more like, do you look like your picture? What's your sense of humor like? And wow, and never,
so true.
Never talk to him again if you don't want to.
Yeah, like start with a phone call. That it's like an interview. Like now if you interview for big companies, like you're not getting in the fucking front door. You're getting on a phone call. Then if you're good enough, you'll get on a second phone call. Yeah. Then you're going to get on a Zoom. And then, you know, the in-person interview is like way.
Yeah, way. I'm a big proponent for people. Like people will say like, I don't like first dates because it feels like an interview. And I'm like, yeah,
it is.
Listen, I only say this because like, you know, dating is hard and you just have to change your perspective. I kind of relate it to like Coachella, right? Like the first time I ever went to Coachella was a few years ago and I didn't know much about it. So you hear about all the music, right? Obviously you hear about the parties and you're like, wow, it sounds like a great time. And so my only expectation was like how much fun I was going to have. And I went and I had a terrible fucking time. I spent the whole time losing friends, looking for friends and chasing fun because it was like, what party should you go to? And like you're losing. And by the time the weekend was over, I was like, I'll never go again. This is the worst. And a year later, I had a friend, different friend, you know, who was like, hey, you know, I'm getting a good group together. We should go. And I'm like, listen, I didn't have a great time last year. And he's like, come on. And I changed my, I gave it some thought and I changed my mind. But this time I told myself, all right, listen, like I'm going to have realistic expectations about it now. Right. I'm going for the music. I'm not going for any parties. I'm not going to go in any parties. And if I happen to go to a party, it's going to be because I have nothing else going on. It's super convenient to what I want to do. And I told myself, I'm going to lose friends. And it's fine if you lose friends. Don't let that like ruin the moment you're in. If you're at a concert and you're an adult, you'll find your friends later. And so I was like, and you may like, you're not going to have the best time. You're just going to have an okay time. And I ended up having a great time, right? And so you just got to change your perspective. And I think when it comes to first dates and dating, it's meant to be hard. Like if you're going on first dates and you're just like, I have the best time on first dates, you're doing it wrong. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're not asking enough questions, or you're just like deciding you like people too quickly. You're not supposed to be compatible with that many people. Like you are meeting a new person, you know, that, you know, and even if you have the gift for the gab, like, you know, you, yeah, it's like, you can have fun if you change perspective. I get to meet someone new. I get to learn an interesting story about someone. I don't know if we're going to be compatible, but if you go in that way, yeah, it can be fun, but you do have to treat it more like an interview. If your goal is to successfully date and if you're looking for like a committed relationship, you know, if you're just like a fuck boy or a fuck girl and you're just kind of, and that's fine if you are, if you're kind of in that stage of your life, then it might be a little bit more easier to have fun if you find like-minded people. If you're like going to Zoom, you're like, hey, like, honestly, I'm just looking to have some sex. And they're like, yeah, me too. You're like, great. Let's just go. We'll mini golf to like make sure like we're not totally, you know, just, you know. And so, but yeah, I just think if you just have a more honest approach about dating and relationships and you can be more successful, more fun. And yes, you should treat it like an interview. You should ask questions. You should get to know them. You should see if they're worth your time.
And low expectations, I feel like, really, I agree with you, is my way of life. And even when I went to therapy and she a lot of times wanted to work on it, I was like, listen, I actually don't want to work on it because it works for me. Like, I yeah. always hate making plans. I'm always like, I don't want to go. It's going to be the worst thing ever. And then I go and I'm like, woohoo, you know? And if I hated it, I knew I was going to hate it. And if I like it, it's a huge surprise to me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if it's working for you, great. I mean, for most people, I would say, like, don't go in thinking it's going to suck. Just go in being okay with either thing. Like, be realistic about the type of fun you might have and be open to anything happening. But again, like with something like a first date, like, that's why people get fatigued and discouraged, because they go in thinking somehow a first date is supposed to be always like fun and magical. It's yeah. like you're meeting a fucking stranger and you're essentially trying to decide if there's any chance of you wanting to be naked around them or spending the rest of your life with them. And it makes sense that you're going to be like, I don't know, critical. And so that's going to create tension and awkwardness, and that's why first dates can be a challenge. But I think if you just kind of go in saying that's okay, then you can have some fun.
You guys, what I'm about to tell you is so freaking wild. I suffer from car sickness. It's so annoying. I legit like can't be on my phone. And I know a lot of people suffer from nausea, whether it's during your menstrual cycle or whether you're hungover or whether you just get nauseous sometimes, or morning sickness when you're pregnant. So I have something for you that is FDA cleared. It's non-drug. It's literally an anti-nausea wristband, and it's called Relief Band. It's clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. Like I said, it's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, so basically all natural relief with zero side effects, because it's a freaking Relief Band, you guys. The technology was developed 20 years ago in hospitals to relieve nausea from patients, but now Relief Band is available to the freaking masses. The way it works is it stimulates a nerve in your wrist that travels to the part of your brain that controls nausea. Then it blocks the signal your brain is sending to your stomach telling you that you are sick. Poof. Could you believe it? Well, you have to try it to see it for yourself, you guys. It's literally the only over-the-counter wearable device that's been used in hospitals and oncology clinics to treat nausea and vomiting. So you guys should check it out, because with my code and for Not Skinny But Not Fat listeners, you're going to get 20% off and a 30-day money-back guarantee. So check it out. Go to Relief Band, R-E-L-I-E-F-Band.com, and use promo code Not Skinny for 20% off plus free shipping, you guys. That is reliefband.com, and use promo code Not Skinny to get 20% off plus free shipping. And don't forget, you guys, 30-day basically trial period. Nick, did you have, so speaking of sliding into DMs, like, we know, you know, about your seasons and who you've been with. Did you get a lot of girls from other seasons sliding into your DMs? Like, did you get a lot of girls from Bachelor Nation wanting to kind of influencer couple it up with you?
Sure. Not an overwhelming amount. But yeah, sure. I mean, Probably more so since I was the bachelor, but not as mm-hmm. much anymore. Certainly not, you know, I've a girlfriend now, but I just kind of like after Vanessa and I broke up, I just made a conscious decision to not associate, not in any way, shape or form, romantically or otherwise, be involved with anyone from Bachelor Nation. I was very like, and so some people would hang out and be like, oh, I think we should get together. And I'm like, listen, you seem great. But like, I don't, you know, date anyone in Bachelor Nation. And again, if I met someone who I legitimately thought that we could legitimately date, then I would have reconsidered, but I wasn't going to like have some sort of hookup or just go on a casual date or anything like that. And so, yeah, but that, not, it doesn't really happen anymore, obviously, with people knowing I have a girlfriend.
And you were linked to like celebs. You were linked to January Jones.
Yeah, I mean,
Rachel Bilson.
Well, Jenny and I had dated for a few months. Rachel has always and only ever been a friend. Yeah, I don't know who else I was linked to. But
I mean, those are two big ones. So do you think Natalie and you are going to get married?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be in a relationship with her if I didn't think it was possible. You know, and I say that as someone who's been essentially, she's the first person I've called my girlfriend in, you know, minus TV in a long, long time. And that's because I think when you get older, you're just a lot less willing to just want to call each other boyfriend. You know, you're just a little more particular. And that's just because, yeah, I think you're just more mindful of what you're looking for. So, for me personally, it was a pretty big step to want to call her my girlfriend. So I would say that, that's a good sign if
I would say that scratches head, like yeah. Gets fidgety. No, but you seem from like Instagram, I mean, I know it's not real life, but you seem giddy about it and you seem really in love and like excited about how long have you been together?
Well, we kind of unofficially celebrated our 1 year anniversary last week. I will have known her for 2 years this September. But
right. You posted something about the Williamsburg Hotel and me with my, I was like, wait, because you were like, where we first met, did you meet in New York?
Yeah. I mean, she was living in Georgia at the time. And so after she DM'd me, we talked for a couple weeks and we both happened to be in New York and we met at the hotel.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, sounds interesting. Well, you guys look gorgeous. Yeah. It sounds like the way Kelly and Pilot Pete had that hotel rendezvous.
Oh yeah, the wedding run in.
Yeah, and we just saw each other in the hotel lobby and passed right by.
Ours was a little more orchestrated, but yeah, no, I'm very, she legitimately is someone who seems too good to be true. So
she's yeah, great. She's a surgical tech that's like unbelievably good looking.
Yeah, and no, like, it's
yeah, it's almost, yeah, it does seem unreal. So I'm happy for you. Okay, so Katie season, how are you feeling? Like, do you talk, like you are, the way you recap The Bachelor, do you ever have negative feelings towards it? Or are you like a lover of the franchise and you're always kind of, no, you do criticize. You do. You speak your truth.
I try to be, I honestly try to give the most honest interpretation of the show. Like as someone who's been on the show and knows things, obviously I have a relationship with the show, but I do try to be objective. Like, you know, I'm not trying to sit there and break down every little behind the scenes and talk about how things are edited, but I certainly acknowledge that there is an edit and some things that aren't shown and things like that. And I've been critical of the show and I can be critical certainly of cast, but I just try to offer the most honest and fair critique of what I see based off of all the things I know, having, you know, kind of played every single character there is to play on that show and having a pretty intimate understanding of the production standpoint, which, you know, quite frankly, if you're not the lead, I thought I knew a lot until I was the lead. And then you realize just, you know, all the nuances of that go into making the show and things like that. And so, you know, I just try to offer an honest critique of, you know, the dynamics, both from a production standpoint, what people might be thinking. I'm also like, I'm not involved in terms of, I don't really have a relationship with cast people anymore. Like for a while, it was harder because I would know so many people and I would be talking about friends. But, you know, now I'm just kind of talking about characters or, you know, people I don't really know. And so, yeah, I just, I try to, you know, break it down in a fun, kind of thoughtful way. And I certainly like, as someone who's been on both sides, I try to just, there's always another point to consider or a point of view. And there is a mob mentality in that show. And I do sometimes find it comical how some of the Bachelor fan diehards will be so kind of like weirdly, I want to say earnest, but I don't know if that's the right word, but they just take it very seriously and literal, some of the silly rules that go into like The Bachelor, like fantasy suites and group dates and roses. And I try to kind of point out, you know, that it is a show and things like that.
Yeah, no, you have funny tweets. I remember when you when you put up, because I talked a lot about La Quinta. It was so funny to me.
It was brutal, yeah.
And then when Nima Colin, Matt James's season, he rides up and like, I don't know, was it like a Mercedes? And he had that huge, you know, lodge to himself. And La Quinta was just so sad. And you put up a funny tweet about that. So yeah, no, I know that you're very honest about, for me, it's like hard. And I know people probably think I'm inconsistent because literally some episodes, I'll feel like it's such a phone show. Like I'll just be on my phone the entire time and I'll look up here and there.
Totally.
Sometimes you're like, ooh, did it just get good? And a lot of times it's like, well, if it is a show and it is so produced, then how about we like take all the entertaining stuff? Like I just wish that they would get that, like, we don't need the same like expose every season. Like we don't need the guy, you know, the guy hating on the guy and telling the girl, and then like the one guy that everyone hates. And then it's like the same kind of like beginning, middle, end. Like we don't need that. Like I enjoy the most seeing like the actual relationships happening. I don't care about like the dude stuff or the drama.
Yeah, I mean, I think different people watch it for different reasons. I think for the most part, it needs it all because, you know, I think it would just get boring if it was just a very sincere kind of.
Well, like Bachelor in Paradise vibes. Like I want to see like people hooking up and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I personally enjoy Bachelor in Paradise as a fan the most.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's weirdly a little bit more realistic. But yeah.
Weirdly, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, that's, it's, yeah, I'd sometimes, I probably wouldn't watch it if I didn't cover it, but.
Yeah, same. But I have this like thing inside of me that's like, you must watch, you must know exactly what's going on all the freaking time.
Hey, listen, there are harder watches on TV, you know? True. And it's one of those things that like, I may not have chosen to watch it because I just generally don't watch a lot of reality TV. But every time I sit down and watch it, I get into it. And like, yeah, sometimes you zone out sometimes or whatever. But I've been enjoying this season. It's been compelling. I mean, they've certainly tugged on the heartstrings with some of their music and they have some good characters. And
Katie's so good. Do you feel like she's a good bachelorette?
I think overall she's good. I mean, she's honest, right? She speaks up, and I think that makes an entertaining bachelorette. I think, I mean, I think for the most part, I think she's been really good. I haven't agreed with all her decisions, but that's fine. That's just my opinion, right?
What, like sending Andrew home?
No, I don't care about that because as someone who's been in her shoes, like, you know, she doesn't get to decide what's aired or the connections. And I'm sure she thinks Andrew's a swell guy, but like, it's not her guy, right? And this is about finding her guy. So it gets a little annoying and you get defensive as the lead of people who like watch the show, be like, you should be with this person. And you're like, yeah, they're nice, but like not a fucking chance, you know, type of thing. I think I told this. She was a little hard on Thomas. You know, and I know Thomas wasn't like my favorite guy, and I thought he was definitely full of shit. But I think sometimes Katie's a big fan of the show, and she's acknowledged this, and I think she's watched a lot of Bachelor, Bachelorette, and like sometimes it's more like I'm watching a girl who's seen a lot of The Bachelorette do her version of The Bachelorette, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you're talking about the dramatic, like, step back.
Yes. Yeah.
Stop that. Right. Like, yeah. That was a moment.
Yeah.
That was, but he was faulted for basically being a super fan of the show and wanting to, like, that's the funny thing about watching it. And you were saying before, the theme of Are You Here for the Right Reasons has been kind of like a forever theme. And it is funny. And I think I've heard you talk about this before. Like, even if I was the Bachelorette and I would go into it with the biggest ego and like, okay, everyone will be in love with me, I would still know, like, but every single person is not only coming for that. So like, you must have to like know that. But I guess there's kind of like a spectrum of how much are you here for the wrong reasons versus the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's, for the leads now, it's again a legitimate concern. Like before, you know, it's you and so yeah, I can see why Katie might be on guard about that, because it's a reality these days. But overall, yeah, I think she's been entertaining, because she is not afraid to say what she's thinking, and what Katie is not worried about is playing it safe at the risk of having any critics. And I think that's made for really good TV.
Yeah. And I think she is like commands the room a lot better than I thought she would. Like, she is taking charge. Like, from the beginning, she walks in, she knows what she wants. She like knows how to handle a room full of these dudes. So what do you think about the guys left? We have Greg, Justin, Blake and Michael A. Do you have a fave?
Well, what do you mean? Like, I guess that they all seem nice. Do you want me to like predict, like, what are my predictions?
No. What do you think? Oh, they all seem nice. That's your take on them?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think they all seem all right. I've said this on my podcast. I don't necessarily like, I think I tweeted something and mentioned on my podcast that Greg is Thomas just with better execution.
I mean, we did find out that he went to like acting school.
I will say, I always find it hysterical when rumors like that come out and the internet is just in a frenzy. It's just like he took an acting class. Like, this is not like, he's not Meryl Streep all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then like there's this, I saw something where he's just like, well, he tried to get on Hannah Brown's season. Listen, half the people in every season first applied when a year before. I mean, my friends signed me up and didn't tell me, and I got a call 9 months later, and I was like, "Oh, what?" And my friend's like, "Oh yeah, we signed you up like 9 months ago," you know.
Yeah.
And so for the people who signed themselves up, you know, when they see that, like, "Hey, if you know anyone who could date our next Bachelorette, Michelle," then some guy like signs up. Sometimes it gets lost in the thousands of applications they get, and they, you know, maybe they legitimately had a crush on Michelle and they get a call, and then their next Bachelorette is, I don't know, whoever. They're still saying yes to the opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but like, also that's, they don't always tell you who it's going to be. A lot of the time the promos are.
They almost never know, right? So
they almost never know. So when the guys come and say, I came here for you.
It's a lie.
It's 99.9% a lie.
It's a lie, yeah.
But they know that. So why don't they tell them, like, no, you didn't. You didn't know it was going to be The Bachelorette.
Because, I don't know. That's how they make good TV. So I think Greg taking an acting class is silly. Now, on the flip side, me personally, I don't think Greg likes Katie.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't necessarily fault Greg. Maybe it depends. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a pressure-packed environment that is designed to make you feel things at a level that you might not normally feel. So like, we know, like, for example, Greg bonded with Katie over the death of their fathers. I don't know what that's like, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, but I can imagine that being an incredible bonding experience, right? And in an environment designed to elicit the maximum amount of emotion. And then you see Katie checking in with Greg, and Katie clearly likes Greg. So like what I'm saying is I think Greg's getting caught up in, you know, being on The Bachelorette, and I just don't see the connection. And when I made a joke about like Greg and Thomas being the same, Greg has better execution. I say that very much jokingly because I'm sure Thomas is an all right guy. I'm sure Greg's a great guy. And, you know, if Greg leaves Katie, it'll be interesting because I think a lot of people are predicting that. That's my guess. Katie was on my podcast and said she got her heart broken. And I don't think there's anyone there who could break her heart other than Greg. So, And I think if she does leave, it'll be interesting because like Katie, you know, she went after Thomas really hard. And like, yeah, he said he thought about being the Bachelor one day. It didn't seem. And so it'll be interesting because if Greg breaks up with Katie, which let's be honest, is a normal thing. Greg has a right to not be into Katie. He has a right.
Yeah, that doesn't happen a lot though, right?
No.
Where, yeah.
But you watch, right? Like Greg, they're setting it up so that if Greg breaks up with Katie, that he will look like a bit of a villain in the sense that like she's been asking him. I think there's a way Greg can easily get out of it and he's a fan favorite. But what will be interesting is that if we're all right, and who knows, maybe she ends up with Greg. They're very much setting it up that she doesn't. It'll be interesting how Katie approaches that after the final rose. What she's shown us is that she's going to go after Greg. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know if she really should. But what she's shown is that she might. But also we don't know how it went down and if it did go down that way. Like if Greg does break up with her, is he an asshole? Is he a dick? Or is he just like, you've been asking me this whole time, you've been checking in, and I realize that maybe I'm not following you the way I want. Maybe I wanted to fall for you, but I'm just not. Like I'm not ready to get engaged. And I can't say I love you. So maybe that's a sign I should leave. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like it will be very interesting. And to be honest, I'm kind of hoping that happens because I think that will be the most interesting.
Yeah, you convinced me.
Because I think that will be the most talked about thing if it does, right? And then how does that breakup happen? How does Katie feel about it? How does she respond to it? And Katie said that this season ends very unconventionally. So it sounds like there's a lot more drama left to play out, and AFR is always the most it's always very compelling because it's that there's always a lot of fallout to kind of work through, and so we will see, and I'm really interested to see how Katie handles that. I wonder if she might overplay her hand.
I feel like she'll end up with Blake. I agree with you that Greg definitely seems like her fave. I think her and Blake have really good banter. And then Justin and Michael A, I feel like they both seem great, but they don't seem like they're vibing that hard.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't showed any connection with Justin whatsoever.
So to be the final four.
If there's been, you know, there's also conversations that happen we don't get to see. But, you know, I don't know if it's true, but I made a joke that Katie, and I respect it if it's true. I mean, Katie's been very sex positive. She's been very open. She made a joke on my podcast that she's like, she kind of wanted to bring Thomas to the fantasy suite. And it's kind of like, maybe she's just like, listen, I'm going to pick Greg. And I have two people to have sex with before I get married that are not Greg. And I got to get out of jail free card. And so like, honestly, like Andrew's nice, but I'd rather see Justin naked. And if that's... if that's what she did, like, good for her. I think it's hysterical if the Bachelor said that he'd be crucified.
I've never thought about fantasy suites like that. That's genius.
I haven't either. But I think Katie might. I could be wrong. But based on what we've seen like literally no conversations between the two of them.
Yeah, I know. I was literally trying to remember today. I was like, Justin. Like, I know I've made fun, like his eye. He has a interesting facial expression, but I don't remember him.
His reactions are great.
Much.
Yeah, that that's what you remember of Justin. Like you don't remember anything else, and he can draw a flower.
That's literally it. You know what I was thinking, Nick, and this is kind of my final question to you. Do you use, like, since you've been on the show for so many years, do you find yourself using that terminology in real life? Like when you and Natalie got serious, were you like, I think I'm falling in love with you. And then you were like, no, I'm definitely now in love with you. Like, were you doing that? Or
no.
Is that?
No. I used to make fun of it when I was The Bachelor.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Well, that wasn't aired. But
oh, okay.
I'd be like, am I falling in love yet? Or like,
am I still? Yeah, I'm all I, that always. So that's what I mean.
You know, there's like, I think I'm falling.
I'm falling.
I'm considering falling. I think I'm falling. I'm falling.
I want to fall. I'm not there yet.
I want to fall. Like none of that matters. It's a tool. It's a tool. You know, you can say.
But how does everyone know that?
What do you mean? You know, I think normally people do that in life because they're bad communicators and afraid of disappointment. It's a way to tip your toes in the water. Even in real life, think about it. You know, let's say you're like falling for someone, you really like them, and you're like, you want to say the L word, but you're just like, I'm not entirely sure how they feel. So you're just like, I think I'm on my way to falling in.
So IRL, you don't talk like that.
Yeah, absolutely not. No, I probably did when I was 22, you know, I don't anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people are very afraid to be rejected and not hear what they want. So it's a kind of a way to dip your toe in the water and say,
right, because it's not like, yeah, I love you.
Right. And then so if you don't get the response you get, you're like, oh, okay, well, thank God I'm only falling. You know, like I'll just pull on the parachute and no worries.
Yeah.
And then when someone like a year later says, like, how many people have you told you love? That person's not on your list. Right. So I think that's in a real world situation, I think that's the motivation. But yeah, I've graduated past that language long before I was on The Bachelor.
Well, Nick, thank you for being here.
Real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Everyone, go follow Nick. Listen to the Vile Files. I specifically loved your episode with Deanie Babies.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good one. So you guys check it out. He has a lot of great guests. And anything else exciting coming up, Nick?
No, I guess just the podcast. I mean, that's exciting for me. But yeah, nothing else I need to promote.
No book. No book.
The book's been written. Yeah.
Oh, see? I had a feeling.
Yeah. But
I had a feeling.
It's Questions with Nick and a Coffee Table. You know, it's.
Oh, I love that.
So it's just kind of, it'll be a lot of relationship and dating kind of, you know, snarky. It's just more of an honest way to look at dating, you know, so that you can, you know, so like when your friend breaks up, gets broken up with, and you can't bear to listen to them, you just hand them the book and be like, just, you know, here's what you won't let me say to you. So read this. What my questions with Nick is. I'm just the
first. Does anybody ever DM you like something wild? Like, I listened to your advice.
Every day.
I divorced my husband and I'm now a lesbian.
Well, I don't know if I mean, I get crazy stories, but I guess I'm thankful for it, but I get, you know, 20, 30 questions a day or an hour. I'll get stopped in the street and people will ask me to help them in their relationships. So I guess that's good.
Well, listen, for someone that was, you know, called conceited or full of himself, you're out there answering questions about other people and not about yourself. So that's, you know, I'm like, so me, and you're answering about other people. So that just shows that, you know, you're not what people used to say that you were.
I mean, you know, people are going to...
You're just giving back.
I think all I hope is that people care. And so if you want to disagree with me or call me, just as long as I trigger you, I'm doing my job. You know, you just want,
well, Nick,
just want people to care.
Thanks again for being here. You're the best.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a ton of fun.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.